You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Tuesday, ninth day of July 2019, with John Daisley, Scottish John, he's known as. Going to be doing a program on the network, and right after the show, I get the distinct pleasure of telling the person that you're replacing that they're being replaced.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to tell me how and what to do and all that other stuff, but they never in a position that I am in that I have to make decisions from time to time that may not be popular with people, but it is what it is. I had my friend Dan, email this over to me, and this actually came from an Englishman. About the current situation in his homeland. Now, this is thought-provoking and equally relevant in other countries. He says, I've been wondering about why whites are racist and no other race is. There are British Africans, British Chinese, British Asian, British Turks, etc., etc., etc. And then there are just British. You know what I mean. Plain old British people who are born here. You can include the Welsh, the Scottish, and the people who live off our shores of Great Britain on islands. Yes, we are all true Brits. The others that live here call me white boy, cracker, honky, whitey, caveman, white trash, and that's okay. But if I call you spade, towelhead, packy, camel, jockey, beaner, gookard, you call me a racist. You say that whites commit a lot of violence against you, so why are the ghettos the most dangerous places to live? You have the Muslim Council of Great Britain. You have Black History Month. You have swimming pools for Asian women. You have Islamic banks for Muslims only. You have Year of the Dragon Day for the Chinese people. If we had White Pride Day, you would call us racist. If we had White History Month, we'd be racist. If we had any organization for only whites to advance our lives, we'd be racist. A white woman could not be in the Miss Black Britain or Miss Asia, but any color can be in the Miss UK. If we had a college fund that only gave white student scholarships, you know we'd be racist. There are over 200 openly proclaimed Muslim-only schools in England. Yet if there were white school only, that would be racist. In the Bradford riots and Toxteth riots, you believed that you were standing up for your race and rights. If we stood up for our race and rights, you'd call us, guess what, racist. You are proud to be black, brown, yellow, or orange, and you're not afraid to announce it, but when we announce our white pride, you call us racist. You know, I mean, a little side note here, you're a Klansman, or you're just a plain old racist. Well, we fly our flag, we're racist. If we celebrate St. George's Day, we're racist. You can fly your flag, and it's called diversity. You celebrate our cultures, and it's called multiculturalism. You rob us, carjack us, rape our daughters, but when a white police officer arrests a black gang member or beats up an Asian drug dealer running from the law and posing a threat to society, you call him a racist. I am proud, but you call me a racist. Why is it that only whites can be racist? And there is nothing improper about this email. Let's see which of you are proud enough to send it on. I sadly don't think many will. That's why we have lost most of our rights in this country. We won't stand up for ourselves. That came from a Brit.
Wasn't Tommy Robinson, was it?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, I don't know, John. I've never understood racism. Not being a racist myself, it's hard to wrap your head around it. You know, my personal history had me in living in Northern Ireland at a very, very volatile time, where two groups of people, Protestants and Roman Catholics, wanted to kill each other simply on religious difference. And I'm blessed that I was never poisoned with that kind of hatred. I don't get it. I would see these people. Some of the best times you could have would be a Friday night sing-song in a pub with the Irish, and yet the next night they'd be out in the street throwing petrol bombs at each other. I never ever understood that. In fact, I'll tell you an interesting little story that I like to share. It just so happened that the factory I worked in this little town, the majority of girls that worked in there were Roman Catholics, and I was brought up Protestant, so most of the girls I dated were Catholic. And some nights I would stay overnight at their parents' house when I walked her home, and I'd come walking out on a Sunday morning to go home to my place, and I would pass a Catholic church and see young lads that I knew coming out of the Catholic church who'd been up the town centre the night before throwing petrol bombs. And then I'd get up my end of the town and pass the Protestant church and see young lads coming out of there that had been throwing petrol bombs back at the Catholics. So, go figure. You want to kill somebody on Saturday night and then go sing to God on a Sunday morning. I don't understand that kind of philosophy.
Well, did anybody ever show up with a bracelet on? WWJD stood for What Would Jesus Do?
No.
I mean, are we going to ask Jesus here to side with either the Catholics or the Protestants? You know,
I wouldn't want to impose on him.
Well, I understand that. Well, hey, look, I appreciate you coming on with me today, and we will see you on the airwaves then Monday, my friend.
Okie dokie.
All righty. I can't wait.
All right, John. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers. I thought it was only the English that said cheers, but evidently not. All right, let's, folks, has anybody watched that video that I posted on the website? It is entitled Disneyland Brawl Shows Just How We Have Fallen as a Society. I watched that about a half a dozen times, and it didn't get any easier to watch. Now, we know Michael Eisner. He's probably good buds and friends with Mr. Epstein. We know the changes that Disney has gone through since this guy took over. But for all intents and purposes, most people going to Disneyland think of it as, Disneyland. You know, it's Walt Disney. It's Mickey Mouse and Goofy and what fun. Heck of an amusement park. A lot of people attend. I have never gone to an amusement park and saw anything like this. And it's brutal. I mean, it is flat out brutal. And to watch it, it's painful. But the desensitization doesn't take place whether you watch it one time or 12 times. You still walk away with the same sickening feeling that something is very, very wrong in this country. And it's been protected. We have not called out people for their actions. And to have the unmitigated gall to do this, and Disneyland, folks, is not a cheap place to go. Many people have to set aside money throughout the year to take the entire family. It ain't cheap. And then to show up and to have a disgusting display such as this from your fellow human beings, it's almost too much to take. It really is. Well, okay, here is a propaganda article that I posted on the website. And my subtitle to this is, uh-oh, they blinked. And we got an exclusive here, The True Origins of Seth Rich Conspiracy Theory. Oh, it's by the wonderful folks that know the difference between the truth and the lie over at Yahoo News. Yahoo News did an investigation. In the summer of 2016, their story goes, Russian intelligence agents secretly planted a fake report claiming the Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was gunned down by a squad of assassins working for Hillary Clinton, giving rise to a notorious conspiracy theory that captivated conservative activists and was later promoted from inside President Trump's White House, a Yahoo News investigation has found. There's no names attached to this, by the way. Just Yahoo News. Kind of like the opinion piece that you'll get in your paper. Oh, it's just the piece that was done by the board. It's just an opinion piece. Nobody ever puts their name on it. As if it's the collective thoughts of the newspaper, and this is how we feel. Well, the story continues. Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, known as the SVR, first circulated a phony bulletin disguised to read as a real intelligence report about the alleged murder of the former DN staffer on July 13, 2016. According to U.S. federal prosecutor who was in charge of the Rich case. That was just 3 days after Rich, 27, was killed in what police believed was a botched robbery while walking home to his group house in Bloomingdale neighborhood in Washington, D.C., about 30 blocks north of the Capitol. The purported details in the SVR account seem improbable on their face that Rich, a data director of the DNC's Voter Protection Division, was on his way to alert the FBI to corrupt dealings by the Clintons when he was slain in the early hours of Sunday morning by the former Secretary of State's hit squad. Yet in a graphic example of how fake news infects the internet, those precise details popped up the same day on an obscure website, whatdoesitmean.com. That is a frequent vehicle for Russian propaganda. The website's article, which attributed its claims to Russian intelligence, was first known instance of Rich's murder being publicly linked to a political conspiracy. To me, having a foreign intelligence agency set up one of my decedents with lies and planning false stories, to me, that's pretty outrageous, said Deborah Sines, the former assistant U.S. attorney in charge of the Rich case until her retirement last year. Maybe other people don't think it's that outrageous. I did. Once it became clear to me that this was coming from the SVR, then it triggers a lot of very serious questions about what do I do after this. Now, you see where Deborah Sines comes down on this. Yeah, it was Russian collusion. Yeah, it was the Russians that threw the campaign. Wait a minute. Everybody seems to forget that the voters here in this country are the ones that cast the votes. And there wasn't anything that you could tell us about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton that we didn't already know. And by Jiminy, oh gosh, you bring in Julian Assange that got the information from Seth Rich. How do you think this is going to play out? The previously unreported role of Russian intelligence in creating and fostering one of the most insidious conspiracy theories to rise out of the 2016 election is disclosed in Yahoo News Presents Conspiracy Land, a six-part series by the news organization's podcast, Skullduggery, that debuts this week on the third anniversary of Rich's murder. So they're going to put up their own propaganda channel. Okay, good. It's going to be real nice once the layers of this onion is peeled back and you people are embarrassed, or maybe you won't be, because lying is within your nature. Deception is within your nature. The Russian effort to exploit Rich's tragic death didn't stop with a fake SVR bulletin. Over the course of the next 2.5 years, the Russian government-owned media organizations, RT and Sputnik, repeatedly played up stories that baselessly alleged that Rich, a relatively junior-level staffer, was the source of the Democratic Party emails that had been leaked to WikiLeaks. It was an idea first floated by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who on August 9, 2016, announced a $20,000 reward for information about Rich's murder, saying, somewhat cryptically, that our sources take risk. At the same time, online trolls working in St. Petersburg, Russia, for the Internet Research Agency, the IRA, not to be confused with individual retirement accounts or the Irish Republican Army, the same shadowy outfit that conducted the Russian social media operation during the 2016 election, aggressively boosted the conspiracy theories. IRA created fake accounts masquerading as those of American citizens or political groups, tweeted and retweeted about 2,000 times about Rich, helping to keep the bogus claims about his death in the social media bloodstream, according to analysis of the database of Russian troll accounts by Yahoo News. Speaking publicly about the case for the first time, Sines, the former prosecutor, said that the Russian conspiracy mongering vastly complicated her efforts to solve the murder by forcing her and Washington, D.C. Police Department to investigate a blizzard of false allegations in order to make sure there was nothing to any of them. To waste your time investigating BS is just horrible. Really, Miss Sines. The Russian-inspired conspiracy theory also had a devastating effect on the Rich family, especially after the theories migrated to alt-right websites and ultimately primetime Fox News shows. As they did so, there were repeated suggestions by the alt-right commentators that the DNC staffer's parents and brother were concealing information about his conduct. "You're used, you're lied to, you're a pawn in your own son's death," said Mary Rich, Seth Rich's mother, who along with her husband Joel was interviewed for a podcast. "I wish they had a chance to experience the hell we've gone through, because this is worse than losing my son the first time. It's like losing him all over again." Now, there's a picture of Seth Rich's mother, Mary Rich, at a press conference in Washington on August 1st of 2016, with a $25,000 reward for who killed his son, who killed her son. Sines goes on to say, "It appeared to me," oh, I'm sorry, let me back up here. In her efforts to better understand where the conspiracy theories were coming from, Sines used her security clearance to access copies of two SVR intelligence reports about Seth Rich that had been intercepted by U.S. intelligence officials. She later wrote a memo documenting the Russian role in fomenting the conspiracy theories that she sent to the Justice Department's National Security Division, and personally briefed Special Counsel Robert Mueller's prosecutors on her findings. Yeah, I bet you did. "It appeared to me that it was very clear a campaign to deflect an ongoing federal criminal investigation." How do you deflect away from an investigation that was a bogus? It was bogus to begin with. But of course, as I said, we know which side of the fence Sines comes down on. So then you have to look at why is Russia doing this? It's not rocket science before you add it up and you go, oh, if Seth is a leaker to WikiLeaks, it doesn't have anything to do with the Russians. So, of course, Russia's interest in doing this is incredibly transparent. The Russian strategy, Sines says, was diabolically simple. Let's blame it on Seth Rich. He's a convenient target. I wouldn't hire this woman to investigate anything. From the Conspiracy Land podcast traces the spread of the conspiracy theories about Rich from their origins as a Russian disinformation plant. The bogus theories about his murder emerged as a persistent theme on all alt-right websites and then were fanned by the right-wing conspiracy entrepreneurs such as Alex Jones of InfoWars, Matt Couch, the founder of Arkansas-based group called America First Media, which bills itself as the leading investigative team in America in the Seth Rich murder. Along the way, the idea that Rich was murdered in retaliation for leaking DNC emails to WikiLeaks was championed by multiple allies of Trump, including Roger Stone. The same day Assange falsely hinted that Rich may have been his source for DNC emails. Stone tweeted a picture of Rich, calling the late DNC staffer in a tweet another dead body in the Clintons' wake. He then added, coincidence? I think not. Let's take the break. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we're back. By the way, I'm not going to bother with the rest of the propaganda piece. You can read the entire story. It's actually, the story title itself, well, it's on the news section, and it just says, uh-oh, they blinked. If you guys remember Popular Mechanics about 9/11, they came out and did their damage control piece, and it didn't fly well with a lot of the readers that saw a different perspective and a different angle at this, and they ignored all the salient facts that were brought up about 9/11, and then systematically tried to, well, debunk them. Well, yeah. Yeah, they tried. It didn't work. And by the way... Donald Trump predicted justice for Jeffrey Epstein And this was at the CPAC 2015 meeting. Much ado is being made online about who should get credit for putting Jeffrey Epstein behind bars, but very few are pointing to President Trump. And there was a video clip that was done in 2015, long before some online personalities hitched their wagon to the Trump train, and then chairman of the Trump Organization took direct aim at Jeffrey Epstein's long-rumored sex island, in a rapid-fire question on former President Bill Clinton. Nice guy, got a lot of problems coming up, in my opinion, with the famous island with Jeffrey Epstein. Lots of problems. Well, he said that to Sean Hannity at the CPAC on February 27th of 2015, even before the future president took the famous escalator ride to launch his presidency. Donald Trump had his eyes set on justice. Now, Epstein avoided justice for his alleged sex trafficking of minors under the tenure of President Bush and President Obama, but like in so many other ways, our current president marches to the beat of his own drum. Now, people will say, okay, well, did you know that Donald Trump actually threw Jeff Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago on a complaint that he was dilly-dallying around with some underage girls? Threw him right out. But of course, that's not going to satisfy the anti-Trumpers out there. Certainly not. How much longer must this circus continue? And the story is, President Trump banned Jeffrey Epstein from Mar-a-Lago after he sexually assaulted an underage girl, says court documents which claim pedophile recruited sex slaves at a private club. A court filing submitted in an ongoing lawsuit between Jeffrey Epstein and lawyer for his victim states he was banned from Mar-a-Lago. Trump allegedly issued this ban after, he learned that Epstein had sexually assaulted an underage girl. President Trump said of Epstein on Tuesday, "I had a falling out with him a long time ago. I wasn't a fan. I was not a fan of his, that I can tell you." It's also revealed in a court filing that Epstein recruited young girls at Mar-a-Lago with the help of his companion, Ghislaine Maxwell, which I mentioned yesterday. A Jane Doe number 2 said in illegal documents that she was recruited from the club, as did a Jane Doe number 3, with both women saying they were asked to be sex slaves. And so it goes. I'm just thoroughly amazed when these guys get caught. It's everybody else's fault. It's not mine. I'll use my wealth and my notoriety to try to beat you into submission. Well, in this particular case, it ain't going to work. All right, our dear Marines. I hear the Marines are still looking for a few good men. Well, I understand you've got a couple of vacancies. Marines arrested for smuggling illegal immigrants near the southern border. Two Marines were busted last week in California for allegedly smuggling a trio of illegal immigrants into the U.S.-Mexican border. Marines Brian Darnell Law II and David Xavier Salazar Quintero were caught about 10 a.m. last Wednesday by U.S. Border Patrol agent while driving three illegal immigrants on Interstate 8 in Jucumba Hot Springs, 7 miles north of the border, according to a court document filed last Friday in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of California. The three passengers admitted to authorities that they were Mexican citizens in the country illegally and had been picked up from the side of the road by a black car driven by Law. Two of the three immigrants said that they had planned to fork over $8,000 to get into the U.S. They expected to settle in Los Angeles and New Jersey, according to court documents. More on this when we get back. Yeah, I'd say the Marines need a few more than just a few good men. At any rate, 800-313-9443. Want to comment on anything today? Please avail yourself. It's a toll-free number. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. Well, Law and Salazar Quintero, who are stationed at Camp Pendleton in California, said they also picked up another illegal immigrant near the same place at about 10:30 p.m. last Tuesday. They drove the man to McDonald's parking lot in Del Mar, where he was picked up by somebody else. After being caught, the Marines blamed each other for initiating the smuggling. Law claimed both smugglings were organized by Salazar Quintero, who coordinated the pickups via cell phone conversations with somebody south of the border and promised him $1,000 for the first job. Despite not getting paid, Law said he agreed to pick up more illegal immigrants on Wednesday with the promise from Salazar Quintero of being financially compensated for both jobs, according to court documents. Salazar Quintero, however, claims it was Law who introduced him to the criminal act. On four different occasions, Salazar Quintero admitted he's been to Jacumba Hot Springs for pickups, including last Tuesday and Wednesday. The first time he returned without picking up anybody, he claimed, while the second time he was promised but not given $500 for smuggling a man. Seems to be not of one of great humanitarian compassion. It's for the money. Yes, I think there's a couple of vacancies there for a few good men. Dan Sutterfield, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, John. I didn't know about that video you talked about tonight, so I jumped on and looked at what happened at Disneyland. Good grief.
I know. And I watched it over and over again. I just sat there in disbelief. And I had these different emotions cropping up, and one was pity. Because here were people that could not control themselves, did absolutely have no respect either for themselves or the fellow, you know, Disneyland goers, and just decided, I mean, moms got knocked down. I mean, it just left me with a hollow feeling in the pit of my stomach.
Yeah. Pretty animalistic, to say the least. I read most of the script underneath it, and what do they say when seconds count, the police will be there in minutes?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't, you know, if somebody would have had a taser, that would have put them on the ground, and then they could straighten it out later after they quit flinching and twitching.
Well, I had the thought if I don't know if you're allowed to carry firearms inside of Disneyland, but there was a crowd around, and I was thinking, you know, if this person, and I use that term loosely, was to seriously injure somebody to the point of death, if I were able, I would have stopped him. I would have stopped him.
With a firearm?
I would have kneecapped him. Let's see how well you can beat up Mama now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so what's going on?
Well, not a whole lot. I apologize for not being available for your show last night. My wife figured out it's not a good idea to run down a staircase chasing a grandchild after she broke her foot.
Uh-huh.
But
well, I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you one thing, Dan. The grandchild can outrun her now.
Oh my! Yeah, I can outrun her now. No, she's doing fine. Luckily, it was a break that didn't require pinning, and most of the discoloration's gone, and we've had her to the doctor a couple of times, and they assure her if she'll keep that boot on for 6 weeks, she'll be playing soccer again.
All righty.
I'm kidding. She don't play soccer.
Well, Tim Spencer has actually made a website, which, by the way, I've not seen it. I need the URL, if that can be emailed over to me so I can open it up. It'd be great.
Well, I'll get with Tim and make sure that happens.
All right, then.
Yeah. I talked to him a couple of times today, and we added I hope this is all right, we added a printable flyer.
Sure.
That people can post, hand out to their buddies. In fact, we had a guy call in yesterday, John. I didn't get to tell you about this. It happened after we talked. A guy called in yesterday from California, and he's posting our fundraiser on a website called Cal Guns, C-A-L, I believe it's CALGUNS.com. And it's everything to do with the gun culture. It's a place where people can comment and just spread information. So he's going to post it there. Really nice guy. He's in a little bit of a bind right now, but I think he said September he's going to jump. So, and we had some of that the last time, and most of the people did that. They were just, you know, straightforward. They said, boy, we want this. Can we get it in September? And I said, yeah, if you'll call me directly. The radio will quit talking about it in 90 days. But if you get a hold of me, then we're not using media, and it totally complies with Piazza's guidelines.
Now, we ran this twice before.
Yes, sir.
And managed to sign up, what, 106 people?
106, that's correct.
We've got tens of thousands of people that listen to this network. We can't get accurate numbers because we're always shadowed, if you know what I mean. But
I do.
There is a lot of people that listen to this network. And I was kind of dismayed. We've been running this since July 4th. It's been 5 days, and you've not gotten that good of a response.
Well, I've had one phone call.
One phone call.
And that was the guy that says, I love what he... We talked for almost an hour, John, and as I know it's hard to believe, but he did most of the talking. he brought up the questions. I'd give him a short, right to the point answer, and then he'd give me another question. And I was glad to talk to him. He's a really sweet, swell guy. Yeah. You know, really wonderful.
Well, yeah. This time around, we're going to do the web page with all the information on it. I'm going to cut a commercial on the network. My friend up in Michigan, yes, I'm going to cut the commercial for the show as well, or I'm sorry, for the store as well. So we'll get those up and running. And I'm contemplating this, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe people are overestimating themselves, because I've seen this. I've been in this for a lot of years. And I've seen ex-military guys or ex-cops or whatever the case may be, and they'll have their firearms and smug in the self-assurance that I'm going to be just fine. I've got my firearms. Well, folks, I hate to tell you this, but some of the worst shooters on planet Earth are cops themselves.
It's like 80 or 90% of all the shots miss the target. I'm ballparking here, but it's something like that, isn't it, John?
Yeah, and a lot of it is it's situational. The adrenaline gets flowing.
Stress-related.
Stress-related. There goes the memory with the handgun in the hand, and it doesn't know where to point. Even though your mind's telling them you're trying to sight a target, and it just won't hit the target. Well, we've also seen where we've got police in this country, Dan, unfortunately, that are conditioned to the response that if you perceive any threat, if you feel that the situation that you're facing might pose a threat to your personal safety, well, shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah, they feel justified at that point, and that's really not valid.
Oh, boy, brother, I'm telling you, there needs to be a wake-up call across this country. There needs to be a serious reckoning here. And I'm thinking that a lot of people are overestimating their own effectiveness with a firearm.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I've got a number of friends that are in law enforcement at various levels.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could be off on this, and I'm sure various agencies or departments do it different. But from my experience, they have to go out and qualify once a year. Well, that doesn't mean they can't practice, but I don't think many of them do, because it's not uncommon for a policeman to carry his firearm for 20, 25 years and never have to discharge it. I understand that. But when the time comes that you have to, there's no choice, you want to be on top of your game 100%.
You know,
and qualifying once a year will not put you there.
Well, and that just brought something to mind. The other day, I'm watching a show called Air Disasters, where they forensically go in and look at air disasters, plane crashes, and involves the National Transportation Safety Board, and a lot of times it involves other governments and their agencies, investigative agencies. I mean, these guys really have to take smoldering lumps of stuff and try to make sense of it. Well, during one of these, I learned that a lot of these pilots, they'll say that, I've got 1,000 hours in this type of plane, or I've got 15,000 hours or 18,000 hours combined. And what was really shocking to me, Dan, that a lot of these pilots, they just hit the auto button. The takeoffs, the flight, the landings, it's all hands off, done by a computer. So when it comes time for the captain of that plane, that he's got all these lives in his charge, his responsibility, that here is a guy that has lost the flavor of the feel of the very aircraft that he is in, because he hasn't really had to direct stick time.
He's basically a programmer.
Bingo. And that was shocking to learn that. And the systems that they have on board these planes, you know, is air traffic safer than it was many, many years ago? I would say yeah, because there's many more flights, many millions more hours in the air. And yeah, I'm surprised there's not more planes falling out of the air or running into stuff. But having said that, when you find out they're dependent on this technology to the point where they actually lose their edge, like the cops that you mentioned, they got to qualify once a year, that's going into a range hitting a static target that's not shooting back at you. You know? And
yep.
And I'm just amazed. You know, we're going to do this, and it's a pledge drive for the network, folks. And the network always needs the funds, but I'm particularly head-scratching this time around that nobody is responding to this.
Not yet. Are all of your other hosts, they're aware this is going on, I would imagine, aren't they?
If not, they're going to be. I'm going to have a list compiled. I'll have Julie do that tomorrow. And I need to see that website because I'd like to send a link over to the host as well so that they're made aware of it.
I'll call Tim as soon as we get off the line here and make sure that he zips that over to you. I talked to him a couple of times today, and he said he thought it was ready to go, and he was intending to send it to you. I'm surprised it hasn't. I gave him your personal email. I hope that was all right. I'm sure
no,
it was.
No, that was fine. No, he's on the network, for gosh sakes.
Oh, I know. That's,
yeah. Let me see here if I can. Yeah, the only, what he sent over, he says, if you think everything looks good, tell me who the SHTML file goes to for upload. Well, I want to see it before it's uploaded.
Gotcha.
Okay, so have a talk with him, Dan, and have him shoot that over to me.
Not a problem.
And we will be in contact. What is your telephone numbers for contact?
Okay, I still have a landline because occasionally cell phone service here is a little sketchy because of the leaves, and especially after.
Oh, well, wait! They're going to give you 5G. You can use it until it burns your brain out of your head. Well, she still has a sense of humor with a broken foot, anyhow, right?
Okay, buddy. My landline is 573-762-2356. And then I have a cell phone, of course, and it's 573-465-2356.
All righty. Well.
And when you ran that last radio spot, or the current radio spot you've got, evidently that was a pun when you said, shoot him an email?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that.
No, it didn't say
shoot. Good one.
It didn't say shoot Dan. It said shoot Dan an email.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
All right.
Good one.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, good talking to you. Okay. And we'll make it here.
All righty. Appreciate it very much. By the way, the guy that sucked off a lot of votes in one of the U.S. elections for president, good old Ross Perot, he's dead. Died at the age of 89. Ross Perot, self-made billionaire, renowned patriot, and two-time independent candidate for U.S. president, has died after a five-month battle with leukemia. How in the hell do you get leukemia in your 80s? The pioneer of the computer services industry who founded Electronic Data Systems in 1962 and Perot Systems Corporation 26 years later, he was not a very big guy, 5'6", but his presence filled the room. Describe my father, Ross Perot Jr. said, his only son and CEO of the Perot Group. Asked rhetorically in an interview, obviously a great family man, wonderful father, but at the end of the day, he was a wonderful humanitarian. Every day he came to work trying to figure out how he could help. Perot was diagnosed with leukemia in February. A massive secondary infection the next month nearly killed him, according to the family. Isn't it odd we're just hearing about this now? In true Perot fashion, he fought back, showing up at the office most days in his dark suit with his omnipresent American flag on his lapel. Perot entertained a steady stream of well-wishers at the Perot headquarters on Turtle Creek Boulevard and spent Easter with his family at their compound in Bermuda. He celebrated his 89th birthday in June with a family lunch in his office and a dinner at home with his daughter, Carolyn Perot Rothgen. One of his recent visitors was Morton H. Meyerson, former EDS and Perot Systems president and CEO, Perot named Dallas Symphony Hall after Meyerson when Perot donated $10 million toward his construction in 1984. So, gone. Ross Perot. Yep. Shuffling off the mortal coil, well, we all must do. But folks, I'm going to leave a legacy for the continuation of this country. It is most important. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I don't know. I kind of like them. He always seemed to be a very upbeat kind of guy.
Well, I'll tell you something about Ross Perot that I got the inside skinny on because I know the guy that did it. At his headquarters in Dallas, a friend of mine told me in Michigan, he said, look, and he was all over the currency. He knew currencies, U.S. currencies, inside and out. There wasn't a bill that you could show this guy that he couldn't tell you the series and when it was printed. What he did was contacted Ross Perot in Dallas, and he told him, he said, look, do you understand the money game? Do you understand the money system? And evidently, Ross Perot did not. So my friend in Michigan walked him through the funny money system, told him exactly the history of currency and money inside this country, told him exactly present day what it is now. So what did Ross Perot do? Well, this guy in Michigan sent him down some presentation, I guess you could call them presentations of the various currencies going back to the start of this country. And Ross Perot put it on display in the atrium in his main offices, EDS offices in Dallas. Ross knew. Mr. Perot knew about the bankers, knew about the extortion that we're suffering under. And we understand this is the ever-flowing tap for the globalists to get what they want, and they'll just bring the system down, canon, and just bring up a new one. No big deal. They invented the first one. We'll make the second one even better.
That was, he wasn't aware of the Federal Reserve until your friend enlightened him, so to speak?
Well, I mean,
here was a... he already knew?
No, he didn't. No, according to my friend,
okay.
he'd spent hours with him on the phone explaining to him exactly what we had in this country. Not everybody knew it. The industrialist Henry Ford, he knew it. He called out the international bankers for what they were.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And he had some pretty powerful friends.
Can I mention something earlier? Actually, when I called, I was still listening to you talking about the software and the autopilots. And I'll bet above it all, now you find out Boeing's using as low as $9 an hour engineers for the software programming from India. Isn't that just wonderful?
Isn't that amazing?
Trusting your life to this kind of...
You know, in this series, Air Disasters, I had seen something similar on a Boeing aircraft. There's something that's called a PDOT tube that tells you airspeed, tells you, gives you a bunch of information. Well, lo and behold, something was defective with this PDOT tube, and it actually crashed the plane because it was in automatic pilot mode, and it was getting erroneous and bad information, and it ran them right into the ground. So those programs for all the safety equipment and the computers on board these planes, I saw the same story you did, and I'm thinking a $9 an hour guy is writing programs for the Boeing Corporation, and they're having planes fall out of the sky? There's an indication something ain't right here.
It's just shocking. You know, and do you remember the early stories about the Audi in the 1990s, like one of the first cars where people said, I put my foot on the brake and the thing would crash into my garage?
Yeah.
They were having, I think it was software problems right from the beginning, but nobody recognized it for several years, and they kept blaming the drivers all the time.
Yeah,
and the thing accelerated, and I ran into my garage.
No, they're not just running to... I was reading stories about people that were parking their cars, hitting the brakes, and a damn thing was accelerating and going through the back of the garage.
Yeah,
you know?
They not only went in, but went out the back.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, my friend, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night. Tom in Philadelphia. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Johnny.
How you doing?
I don't know who the hell Ross Perot was helping, but he sure as hell didn't help me. I got hired by EDS back in the 90s, and I went to work. I was there like 3 weeks, and I guess they had run a credit check on me or something, found out I had a bankruptcy, and they dismissed me. And it wasn't anything on the application asking if you had a bankruptcy. So my attorney and my accountant wrote letters to him, both wrote letters to him telling him that the reason I was in bankruptcy is because my previous employer was not paying me properly, and I was living off credit cards until the company, get on their feet and pay me. When I left the other company, I had 12 paychecks I was behind, and he didn't give a crap, you know?
Well, but Tom, to be fair to Ross Perot, I'm sure he wasn't sitting there looking at the personnel file and making the decision.
What?
He wasn't sitting there looking at your personnel file and making the decision to fire you. It was one of the underlings someplace, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay. But you know what? Here was somebody who, and then I asked him, I said, so what? What's the bankruptcy got? Well, you know, you've got financial problems. I don't mean financial problems. I'm bankrupt. I got no debt, nothing. I got top secret security clearance. I said I was going to work for Lockheed because I was aviation, you know, electronics tech. I worked on, you know, helped build the F-18 and the two-seater Harrier and all that. And they didn't give a crap. You know, it just really aggravated me. It helped me. Like, I mean, it's not a line for his ears. You know, I wanted to smack him in the ears.
Well, there's you were inside on two stories on Ross Perot that you never heard before.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, I need to talk to you. Dave called me from Arkansas.
Yeah.
I need to talk to you after the show. Would you give me a call back?
Yeah, something to do with a server?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I need about the service.
Yeah, okay. I suggested he called you yesterday. Did you guys get anywhere?
Right. Yeah, but I need a couple of questions answered by you. So,
all right. Very good, sir.
Give me a shout.
All right.
All righty.
Okay.
Well, you have a good day, and don't let them ears take off.
You hear that giant sucking sound? Now, there's a legacy. That's your job's moving to Mexico.
Yeah, I met him a few times in the few weeks that I was there. I was down in Virginia. So, but, I mean, you know, he seemed like a nice guy. You know, I was hired as a network engineer. And,
I was up in Lansing, Michigan, at the steps of the State House, and I'm up there jostling and with CNN and NBC and ABC up on the podium where the press was. I was up there representing basically myself, but I got a pass to be up there, and I'm fighting for live sockets to plug stuff in. And while we're all standing there waiting for the petitions to show up in Lansing, we got the word at that very time that Ross Perot had dropped out of the race. So, at any rate.
Okay. I think he got threatened.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Call me when you're done.
All righty. Folks, we need your help here. We're trying to pay down some bills, of which they're not going to take any less than full amount paid. I said yesterday that we had one bill for the internet for the network, and I got the cheapest price we could. They want $2,600, otherwise it's shut off in 4 days. So we need your help and your support right now. More people respond to the front site thing, and we got some other irons in the fire. Hopefully we'll pay out. We're doing everything we can. I even mentioned yesterday I turned a secretary into a board op. Now I no longer have a secretary. That's being frugal. Thanks for being here today. Back with you tomorrow with Tom.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.